few weeks ago, I was listening to an interview of a retired pastor, and he was reflecting on his life and his ministry, and he was telling the story of how he grew up in the Los Angeles area. His dad was actually a pastor as well, but he grew up in a home that was healthy, great parents who modeled for him the Christian faith in a healthy environment. The church he grew up in was healthy. And then as he goes off to college, he begins to experience a call himself into ministry. And so he accepts that call and he begins to step out in faith. And as he steps out in faith in the call to ministry, he sees people responding to the gospel. And he gets to experience the fruits of that ministry. He goes on and continues his education, is able to get a master's and a doctorate, and able to do well in those areas. And so really, in terms of growing up, he had a great childhood. As he goes into ministry, a lot of success came his way. And so decade after decade of those types of things. But it was around middle age that things suddenly started to change. He was called to a large church in Tennessee. And during his pastorate there, there became this power struggle between him and other leaders that just kept getting worse and worse. And it impacted not only the church, became divisive, but also in his own personal life. He's carrying that burden of struggle into his life and to his marriage. And eventually it got so bad. It got so bad to the point that he decided to step down and step away from pastoral ministry. And this left him reeling and struggling how to process all the pain and difficulty and injustice that he had experienced. And he tells this story of that season of his life. He said, you know, he said, up to that point in my life, I knew and had experienced that God loved me. He said, but when I went through all that pain and all that suffering and all that struggle, he goes, I came to that point where I was looking at the evidence and I came to a different conclusion. He goes, I came to the conclusion that God must hate me. Now, the good news is that's not where the story ended. He walked through that. He worked through that and walked through that. And on the other side of that time, there was a maturing of his faith, a growing of his faith, and returning to the ministry, and a lot of good things that happened after that. But he came out of that time changed. He came through that pain and suffering changed. In fact, he calls that season of his life, he says, for me in my life, that was rock bottom. He had not anticipated ever getting there, but he found himself there at rock bottom. And graciously and thankfully, he came out of that, not bitter and disillusioned, but through the pain, the real pain, the real suffering, he actually, after all that, was actually able to mature and grow in his faith. So I wonder for you this morning, if you've ever hit rock bottom in your life, maybe not as dramatic as that, although I do believe some of you have experienced something to the equivalent of what you might say, that was rock bottom for me. But if you don't even come to that place in life, I promise you all of us have already or will experience the challenges of life, the challenges that come from suffering, the challenges that come from relational hurt, the challenges that come from emotional or physical pain, or whatever it may be, we all will face challenges to different degrees in our life. So how do we go through those things? How do we face the challenges that come from our life? Even at some point, if we hit rock bottom, how do we face those challenges and come out of those not bitter and disillusioned, but actually having grown and matured in our faith? Well, I think we see an example of this today in our Bibles. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to, guess where? Psalm 119. Psalm 119, today we're going to look at verses 145 through 152. And I'm going to read all these verses. And as I say each week, if you don't have a Bible, use the Bible that's in the seat in front of you. The page number for that is 439, that you can turn right to these verses. So Psalm 119, verses 145 through 152. Follow along as I read. I call with all my heart, answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry out for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, and they are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. So as we read these verses today, and if you've been with us throughout the spring and we've been going through Psalm 119, you know that the person who's writing this, the person that God, the Holy Spirit, inspired to write this, the psalmist, reflects upon his life continually in the challenges that he has faced and he is facing. And one of the challenges that he faces throughout these verses is that people are against him. People hate him. People want to bring him down. He's facing a very particular challenge in his life, but it is a very real and tangible challenge that he's facing. And you hear it in his voice, don't you? He says, I call out to you, God, with all my heart, answer me. I call out to you, save me. He says, I rise before dawn. What's the first thing I do? I cry out for help. He goes, I'm up at all hours of the night, all the watches of the night. These people, they devise wicked schemes. They're near. They're coming after me. They're close. They're far from your law, but they are close to me. This is somebody who is facing some challenges in life, very real, painful situations and circumstances, and he's crying out to God for his help. And as he cries out to God, as he looks at what he's going through, as he's facing these challenges in his life, he also says this, in verse 151, he says this. He says, yet, God, you are near, and all your commands are true. So in the midst of what he's facing, the challenges that he's facing, he also knows that there is something that is also true. In fact, what is most true about his life is not just that he faces challenges like everybody faces. But what's most true about his life is that God is near him, that he can experience God, that he can have a relationship with God, that he can know that he is known by God and that God is with him, even as he walks through those very real challenges of life. And I think for you and me this morning, for the challenges that you face and that I'll face in life, challenges that you may be facing right now, that you have some very specific issues, things, people in mind, that the path forward is found in the reflections that we see here in Psalm 119. That is, that at the heart of our life, that no matter what we go through, we can know God and experience him and have a relationship with him. So the path forward for you and me is this. No matter what you face, hear me, no matter what you face, focus on growing in a relationship with God. And that speaks to the importance of a relationship with God. When we read the Bible, throughout the Bible, the language of relationship, of God knowing us and of us knowing God, the language that we find throughout the Bible is the language of covenant, that God creates a covenant with us and that we respond to Him, that the language of a love relationship with God is that He pours out His love and mercy for us and establishing this covenant, this relationship with Him, which is different than a transactional relationship. You know, a transactional relationship is you do your part and I do my part and everybody's happy. Think about going out to eat, going to a restaurant. And you may know the owners, you may know the waiter or the waitress, and even consider them friends. But when you go out to eat and you order your food, you want it to come out on time. You want it to come out hot. You want it to come out correctly. And that's the deal, right? You give them money, and they give you food that comes out quickly, hot, and is the right order. And if that doesn't happen, I don't care how well you think you know the waiter or the owner, you're going to be grumpy or mad or whatever, right? Because at the heart of that, and I'm being very basic here, but at the heart of that, at the heart of that relationship, there's the transaction. There's the money given and the food given in return. That's a transactional kind of relationship. And one of the challenges that we all face when it comes to this language of relationship with God, talking about having a relationship with us, is that it's easy for us to frame our relationship with God, and we're not intending to do this, but it's just sort of a natural thing, is we tend to think about our relationship with God in transactional kind of ways. So if I'm good and I do the right things, God will make sure good things happen to me. Or if I do the things the right way, if I'm a good enough person, it'll make life easier. That's the transaction. I'll do my part. God, you do your part. And there's nothing like suffering, pain, tragedy, grief, hurt, emotional suffering, physical pain to blow apart that transactional relationship. Because at the heart of that transactional relationship is, I do my part, and then God does His part. Then when the suffering and the difficulties and the challenges come, it can leave you reeling going, what is God up to? And if you're not careful, it leaves you disillusioned and bitter because you didn't feel like, again, putting language to this, why didn't God keep up His end of the bargain? But do you see, that's a transactional relationship, which is very different than the relationship we see in Scripture. It's not about a transactional relationship. God does His part. I do my part. He holds up His end of the bargain. I hold up my, you know, that kind of thing. But it is the language of covenant that God promises in a relationship with Him to give us Himself, that we might know Him and experience Him, enjoy Him, no matter what we face, good or difficult, great or challenging. No matter what you face, you can focus on growing in a relationship with God. And that if everything else is taken away, as painful and as real as those situations are, that if you can know Him through Jesus Christ, that'll always be enough. To be known by Him, to know Him, to love Him, to be loved by Him is all you really need. So that's why it's so important for us No matter what you face, and you and I will face different challenges in our life. You'll face challenges that'll be different than the challenges I face, but we're going to face them. That when you face those challenges, as you face those challenges, don't forget to focus on what God is doing in your life. Focus on a relationship with Him. And that's why we draw ourselves back to Jesus, why we draw ourselves back to the cross. Because for some of you this morning, the language of a relationship with God is foreign to you. To experience God, to experience a relationship with God, seems like I'm speaking in a language that you don't understand or know about. You may have conceptualized God as someone who's up there looking down on us, but to actually know God and to experience a relationship with Him, to be in covenant with Him, is something that's foreign to you today. And if that is you today, the good news for you this morning is that God is not calling you to somehow keep up your end of the bargain as though that's how you can know Him. In fact, it's just the opposite. This is the language that we find here in the Bible. The language of covenant is the language of grace and the language of mercy poured out to us who are undeserving, who can't keep up our end of the bargain. And that's why we go to the cross. Because in the cross, we see Jesus taking all of that which we could not do upon Himself. His body and His blood given and shed for you. So that when we put our faith in Christ, we receive what He could only do, which is forgiveness, the cleansing of our sins so that we can be reconciled to Him. And that in the reconciliation with God, it's not just a one-time transaction, but it is a reconciling of us to God so that we can actually know Him and experience Him by Him giving us the Holy Spirit within our lives, that we can grow closer to Him. And so if you don't know Christ today, I point you to the cross, and there is life. There is eternal life. There is forgiveness. There is cleansing of your sins so that you can be reconciled to God. And for those of us who do know Him, we're reminded that Jesus draws us into Himself, into deeper union and relationship with Him. And hear me, one of the great challenges of your life and your faith, and it's true for me, and I struggle with this as well, that God is worthy to be loved and enjoyed simply for who He is and not just what He gives to us as though it was some kind of transaction. That to be in a relationship with Him and to enjoy that relationship and experience that relationship is ultimately, even in death, all that we need. So it's a challenge to those of us as well to be drawn back to Jesus in the grace and mercy that He displayed for us so that we can know God and grow in a relationship with Him. So ultimately for us, the call to focus on a relationship with God is therefore a call to remember Christ and what He's done for us. And we can do that today by doing what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. So I invite you today, if you picked up one of these cups as you came in, I want to encourage you right now to simply open up the elements and hold them in your hands. And we're going to move, before we do this, into a time of reflection. And I don't want you to waste this time of reflection, contemplation. This is an opportunity for you in the busyness of your life and all the different things going on to simply reflect upon Jesus Christ, what He's done for you, that you can know Him and experience Him and enjoy Him. And maybe today you've never put your faith in Christ, and this will be a chance for you to call out to Him. quietly there and to call out to him and put your trust in him. Maybe today it's a chance for you to step back from this transactional dynamic you've created in your mind between you and God and simply come to a place of rest and peace that you are known and loved by him. And that is enough. Whatever it is, let's use this as a chance to reflect upon Christ and his work in our life. Before his death on the cross, Jesus gathered his disciples together in the upper room of a house. And as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he broke it. And he said to his disciples, he said, "This is my body given for you. Whenever you eat this, do this in remembrance of me." After he broke the bread, he then took the cup and he poured it and he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant shed for you and for the sins of the entire world. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Christ Jesus, we draw our eyes to you today. And I pray today for that person here who has never put their faith in you and received the salvation you offer on the cross. God, I pray today will be the first time in their life where they repent. They turn from sin, turn from self, and put their faith in you, Christ, believing that you died on the cross for their sins, that you rose from the dead, that you're the Son of God. I pray today for the salvation of someone who's a lost soul, who today will be found and drawn into your presence. God, I pray today for the person or the people here today who are struggling with life, who are hurting physically or emotionally, who are under the weight of struggling relationships, who are grieving, who are just experiencing life not working for them. Whatever the suffering, whatever the pain, whatever the challenges they're facing today, Jesus, I pray by your Spirit that you draw them into yourself, into your arms, and they'll find peace, that you are enough, that you're all that they ultimately need, and you'll give them endurance and hope so that they'll come through this season not bitter and disillusioned, but with a faith that's enriched, deeper, strengthened, for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.